Oh, my Lord. What a way to get the show started for this week, folks. I am James Richard Brown, the associate editor for SportsBastards.com and Eternal Aussie fan. Over there across at the HQ in Louisville, Kentucky, is the other lifelong Aussie fan.
Yes, I am Ron Hogan. I am the editor-in-chief of SportsBastards.com, and I am also all over the internet.
Yes, he is a whore. Oh, hey, guess what, guys, including you fans over at Kissing Susie Culber, she's back!
Yep, stat girl Kristen Murda is back. I didn't have to work.
Oh, yes, because remember, folks, we're not, like, Deadspin. We have to work for a living.
Don't worry, under President Obama, we'll get free money for doing nothing, so I really look forward to that.
I do, too, but hey. All right, first and foremost, thanks for listening to our podcast right now. Want to say a quick shout-out to Staff Sergeant Howard Bushy III, who is with the 927th Engineering Company. That's right, folks, the Sappers over in Afghanistan. Also, Ron and I want to give a big shout-out to the 101st, especially 3rd Combat Unit, Rakasan. Oh, yes, because why are we saying hello to the 101st? They're our locals, fuckers.
Well, not my locals. I've got,
Knox.
I don't think there are any tanks out there anymore. I think it's like the,
It's the gold and the Patton Museum.
It's, the 158th Paper Pushers Division.
Yep. So, yes.
But, hey.
But, yes, the 101st out there in Iraq, keeping the peace. And hopefully staying out of trouble. All right, kids. If you've been living under a rock, or Kristen, like she said, was working this weekend, which, again, we don't get paid much for this. The top story. Your BCS rankings are all... Okay, my BCS predictions are all fucked up. Texas Tech upset Texas in a very, very, very good game.
Yes, it. For those of you who weren't lucky enough to get to see it, you missed an incredible, incredible game. It took a last-second bit of heroics by Mr. Michael Crabtree to pull out the victory. And, you know, if this doesn't get Graham Harrell a little bit more love for the Heisman, nothing will. And Michael Crabtree is going to be a beast on Sundays.
Oh, yes, he is. And this doesn't take Colt McCoy out of the intent of the contention entirely either. I mean, let's face it. Colt put up a pretty good performance, too. It's one of those football mantras of who wants it more. And apparently on Saturday, Texas Tech did.
Well, yeah, because for, you know... Ever since Mike Leach went down there to Texas Tech and put in that spread offense, all we've heard is offensive genius Mike Leach, you know, but he's never gotten respect as being an actual football coach because he's got, you know, outside interests and a law degree, and he's kind of weird, even as football coaches go, you know, and he never got any respect, and now hopefully this is the sort of respect that program needs and really has deserved over the past few years because, you know, they've got a proven record of success now. They finally beat Big Sister, Texas. And, you know, they're still capable of scoring 50 points on any defense in the country on any given day.
Including Big Sister, Texas. So, all right, Ron, as reported too, considering that Texas Tech beat Texas, this does change your top five picture. Stat girl, get out the APs.
Okay. First is Alabama, then Texas Tech, Penn State, Florida, and Texas.
Wow. Yeah. I'm very surprised that Texas Tech jumped, because weren't they just seventh before?
They were seventh.
I'm very surprised Tech jumped Florida and Penn State, but, you know, it's a pleasant surprise, because really, they earned it.
Yeah, Texas... was Texas was the big dog in the yard. Now it's up to Nick Saban and Alabama as, hey guys, if you want the SEC in the national title picture, you fuckers better step up.
Right. To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and Texas Tech definitely beat the man last week.
Woo! Oh, yes, Ric Flair. But yes, with that top five devastation comes another bit of devastation, and this one hits kind of close to home to me because I am in the middle of it, which after the South Carolina game and yesterday, all day yesterday, still going on today in between the election, Philip Fulmer has decided that he will resign effective the last game of the season from the University of Tennessee. Which, of course, I broke the story too with SB and put the links up with the Knoxville News Sentinel, the Tennessean, ESPN's Chris Lowe, reporting on it all day. Ron, what do you think, man? Is it the end of an era in the SEC?
Well, yeah, I mean, he wasn't called the dean of the SEC for nothing. I mean, in this day and age, if you can get a guy to stay at a job for 5 years, he's been there a long time. And how long was the Great Pumpkin in Knoxville?
Oh, man.
16 years?
I've got 17 seasons written down.
Yeah, she is right. 17 seasons as a head coach. I'm
and then, like, 34 total as a player and a student and assistant coach, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, yes, under Johnny Majors. He was the assistant, and then he got the big job. So, Phil?
Yeah, the only other thing I've got written is his record.
Yeah. So. Go ahead, Stat Girl. Tell it out for the uneducated.
His record was 150-51.
And that's not bad, but you can't string together two losing seasons in that environment and expect to, you know, escape unscathed.
And Tennessee, right now we're in it's football season. You've got Vanderbilt with a pretty decent record, even with their losses. You've got Chattanooga doing halfway decent, MTSU doing pretty decent, Titans with an 8-0 season. Right now, football environment in Tennessee is pretty fucking brutal if you got a losing season.
Yeah, there's it's a country for old men, and Philip Fulmer is the oldest guy on the block out there.
With the end of Fulmer's era, which Steve Spurrier was like, well, I guess he'd been there too long. You kind of see South Carolina and Spurrier parting ways soon, possibly Sylvester Croom and Mississippi State doing the same?
Well, I don't think Sylvester Croom is out right yet. Nor do I think the old ball coach is really out. But he's already said this is going to be his last stop, and I actually believe him because I think he's a little too tired to... I think he's tired of it all now, you know? Because he's been under such scrutiny, especially lately. And I don't think he's the Howard Schnellenberger type who's willing to go down to Florida Atlantic and build a program from scratch, you know?
And Schnellenberger was... It's like you said, he's got the time, he's got the patience, but...
And he's got the...
Yeah? Yeah, he has a lot of things to his advantage. Yeah, I'm saying we're Ron cut off here. Oh, yes, don't you just love technical difficulties?
Yeah.
I got cut off?
Yeah, but not much. He just got back now.
Oh, I clicked my microphone off so I could cough.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I understand that, folks. It is getting to be cold flu season. All right, and here's another surprise other than Philip Fulmer leaving Tennessee. Is Ron, they might be on the right track yet again. The Bengals won.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day, Rich. This is one of two. They'll win another one before the season's over, but this is not the right track. This is not even close to the right track. This is... This may be in the track and field stadium, you know, but this is the javelin toss, and everyone else is on the running the marathon.
Okay, so at least they're trying.
It's... I don't even know if they're trying. I think this was an accident.
Are you trying to say the other team needs help?
What I'm saying is that if the Bengals won with Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, then obviously the other team must have, you know, eaten a bucket of bad fish or something the day before the game, and their entire team was having leaky diarrhea or something. There's no way that the Bengals should beat a professional football team. There's no way the Bengals should beat a top five college team.
All right. Speaking of top five team, well run in a battle of field goals and kickers ripping their own face masks off, the Titans are now 8-0 at the halfway point. And
let's not even discuss an undefeated season for Tennessee, because we all know that's not going to happen.
No. I don't think Tennessee wants to curse themselves with it. They saw what happened to the last jackass team that attempted an undefeated season. Paging Tom Brady.
To be fair, the jackasses did go undefeated in the season.
Well,
they
true.
They just lost when it mattered the most.
Yep, the Super Bowl. And since, Ron, we're talking about the Titans, let's go to the other side of the coin. That's right. Let's talk about who they're facing this weekend. Now, Ron. Ron rehearsed this all for everybody. So, Ron, the stage is yours.
Yes, start my music, Rich. Turn the flip it, please.
Six cannon. But Bruce Bitt is the starting quarterback. Six cannon. Taking snap again at Soldier. Six cannon. Orgasm for each and every girl. Six cannon. Interceptions flying through the air again. Six cannon. The neckbeard says that he's the quarterback. Six cannon. Kyle Orton needs some tape for his leg. Sex cannon. I'm thrown away from the microphone. Sex cannon. Come slinging like he's back with Spurrier. Sex cannon. His first game back, he throws an INT. Sex cannon. It's like 2005 is here again.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Nailed it on his first take.
I'm epic.
Yes, you are. That is an epic. That is not an epic fail. You nailed it on the first take. That's right, folks. If you haven't heard, the sex cannon is back. Unfortunately.
The last thing, kissing Susie Colbert is done, right there.
Yeah, that is about the best thing next to Jerry Jones articles. Yeah, I'm going to fuck a stewardess in her mouth. Well, yes.
I'm fucking crazy.
Well, I do too. Yes, unfortunately for Rex Grossman, yes, he got his starting job back. I guess Lovie Smith forgot to tell him, oh, by the way, you're facing the Titans defense next week. Try not to blow the game.
Well, if there's anyone with a lot of experience being blown, it's Rex Grossman.
Of course. And
but, this is a bad sign for the Bears. I mean, as much as odd as it sounds to say it, Cal Orton was playing some really good football at the quarterback position.
I know.
To the point where I thought he has a future as an NFL quarterback.
Which he still does.
Yeah, and it's just a high ankle sprain. It's not like he, is going to have to go get Tommy John surgery or something, but
or
still, you hate to see a guy get injured when he's actually playing well, and then you have to throw your backup, the interception machine, to one of the most ferocious defenses in the NFL.
Yes, let's just say it. Curb stomp. Put your teeth on the curb, boy. Come on, Rex. Put your teeth on the curb.
Bite the curb.
Bite the curb, son. Albert's coming. Yes, Albert is coming, and Albert only had Albert and the Dutch Terror, and they only have one mood when they're on the football field. What is it, Ron?
Angry.
Yeah.
Possibly violent.
Completely psychotic, most likely. All right, and the last thing we're going to cover on the NFL is the only winless team. The Detroit Lions decided that Orlovsky... Wait a minute, they didn't decide it. Orlovsky decided him for himself. He's injured. John Kitna is injured. Who are you going to call, Ron?
Dante Culpepper.
Yeah.
Because you can't call the Ghostbusters.
No.
They're too smart to play for Detroit.
Everyone is too smart to play for Detroit.
Except for Dante.
Yeah. That's right, folks. Dante Culpepper, and a prediction sure to have went wrong last show. I thought Dante was smarter than that to go play for Detroit.
Obviously, you don't remember the fact that he used to play for Oakland.
Yes, but Oakland at least had a offensive line that could have held for 4 seconds. I don't even think Detroit can do 2.
Good point.
Yeah.
I'd say Dante could have fun running for his life, but I don't think he can run anymore.
No, he can't. not anymore.
He could probably hop very fast on his one leg.
Yes. All right, on to the shit nobody cares about. No, I didn't even cover hockey. I like the Nashville Predators, and beyond that, I don't fucking know anything else in hockey. No, we're talking about the shit no one really, really even cares about. Okay, Len, but that's about it. Yeah, I know, Ron, it's amazing. Someone does care. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I might as well just say it. Joe Dumars is making decisions more coherently than Matt Millen.
Well, to be fair, Joe Dumars actually knows about the game of basketball. And I don't think Matt Millen could tell you the dollar menu at McDonald's.
Are you trying to say that just because he used to cause concussions and get concussions himself, he doesn't know about football?
I'm saying that he's stopped too many, he's taken entirely too many blows to the head to make good business decisions these days.
Good point. Well, Joe Dumars decided that Chauncey Billups, Antonio McDyess, and who the hell else did they trade? I couldn't even pronounce his name if I wanted to, so let's save it. I'm sure the hot chick from Free Darko will... Or is it Free Sheed? I forget.
I think it's Free Darko still.
It might be Free Darko. Or Need for Sheed. Those two sites would probably tell me. But, guys, I'm not going to look it up. Yes, anyways. He decided...
You have a commitment to journalistic excellence, Rich. The likes of which I haven't seen since I worked for the New York Times.
Oh, dear God. Anyways, they decided that Chauncey Billups was not the answer to their problems. So, someone told Joe Dumars that he might want to get the answer, and get the answer he did. That's right, for those of you that are hanging themselves right now, which, no, Matt, we're not letting you borrow the rope. Allen Iverson is going to Detroit. Chauncey Billups is going to Denver. The other guy I don't know about is also going to Denver. And Antonio McDyess is probably going into retirement because he'll be damned if he's going back to Denver.
Oh, see, what's going to happen is he's going to negotiate a buyout for his contract and then re-sign with Detroit for less money.
That makes sense. How?
That's what Brent Berry did last year.
Oh, yeah.
He got traded from San Antonio. He quit. He waited a month. Then he re-signed to San Antonio.
True.
It's the opposite of Keith Van Horn, where he came out of retirement, got paid a bunch of money, and then went back into retirement.
Well, Keith Van Horn's Mormon, too, so come on. He needed the money. He's got a large family to take care of.
Which, I hadn't thought about this at the time, but apparently someone on ESPN told me, because they do all my thinking for me,
yes,
that this clears off $30 million from Denver's salary cap for 2010. Or not Denver, Detroit. So this means Detroit has officially entered the buying LeBron James sweepstakes.
Well, of course, and because Skip Bayless wants LeBron to go somewhere else other than Cleveland. Right. I'm sure Len will be pleased as punch. Alright, on to other shit that I could care less about. The new instant replay in the NBA. Right.
Wait, couldn't they just walk over to the table all this time and watch the replays?
Yes, they could. No, Ron, I don't know why they're doing it. I really don't.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be useful instant replay like the NFL's. It's just going to be, you know, the stupid stuff like Major League Baseball.
Right. So we can check that if it's a two-pointer or a three-pointer or a nobody-gives-a-shit-pointer.
I think it's time for the NBA to adopt rock and jock rules.
Oh,
where they
Lord.
Have the 20-point basket and the, you know, the 10-pointer shots.
Why don't we just do what Craig Skitzmas over at ScrewAttack.com used to do? Why don't we just put the fucking trampolines in the area of the paint? Let's just have slam ball all over again.
Hey, slam ball is still around.
I know.
It's still awesome.
Yes, it is. I mean, come on, and you don't have to have any skills. They don't in the NBA anyways. You don't need fundamentals. They don't in the NBA now. You don't
even... Go ahead.
Yeah, you don't even need to know how to shoot the ball. Look at half of Iverson's fucking shots.
At least in slam ball, you have a reason to travel. It's because you have to jump from trampoline to trampoline to trampoline to dunk.
Exactly. And it might just improve Yao Ming's numbers. Because Lord knows that fucker needs elbow pads, knee pads, and a helmet.
I think if you put Yao Ming on a trampoline, he would shatter both his legs like Barbaro. They'd have to put him down.
Oh, hell. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're introducing a new part of the show, or at least it's a new part in the show notes. We just dressed it pretty. All right, folks, it's time for the Bastard Points segment. And Stat Girl has her soapbox and her moderator button ready. So let's get to it. It's time for Stat Girl's Corner.
Okay, I've got 3 different points, and I'm just curious what you guys think about them. First one, the Colts-Patriots game. Is Belichick still a genius?
Why don't you take the lead on this one, Rich?
I am. I'm thinking of the best logical way of saying it. If you want to call videotaping the other team's game genius, go ahead. If you want to call 2 years of misery in Cleveland genius, go ahead. If you want to call someone who gave up the Jets job just to take the job of his old employer, yeah, I can call him a genius then. Calling 3 nonsensical timeouts in a fourth quarter, I'd still call him a genius.
Actually, only 2 of them were in the fourth quarter. One, he lost a challenge in the third.
Ooh, that's bad.
But it was a dumb challenge. Let's be fair.
Yes, it was a very dumb challenge. Was that the 12-man challenge?
I don't know. I didn't get to catch that part.
I think it was. I heard about where he challenged the 12-man on the field. No. I can't call him a genius anymore. And it's showing. And it's showing because right now, without Tom Brady, without Lawrence Mulroney, without Rodney Harrison, right now, Belichick is having a very, very, very bad year. And right now, Matt Castle thinks he's going to be the man, even after Brady comes back. Right now, no. You can't.
I gotta go the other direction and say that, yes, Belichick still is a genius, because how many years did he tape without getting caught? Right. And didn't he leave abandon a horrible Jets job for a much better New England Patriots job? Yes. And he may have been banned in Cleveland, yes, but let's look at Cleveland. Hasn't everyone been bad in Cleveland since they brought the expansion team back? Haven't people been bad in Cleveland since Paul Brown left? Yes. I mean, just because the fact that Pete Carroll was horrible in New England, that doesn't make him less of a genius at the college level, does it?
Yeah, good point. And I think at the time, too, Belichick just got lucky. I don't think everyone would have known that Tom Brady would have went from 6th round... back up at Michigan to four Super Bowls, three he won, and he blew the big one.
But let's look at it this way. Anybody, as we've seen, the surest way to find success is to replace Drew Bledsoe. I mean, look at Tom Brady, look at Tony Romo.
Let's step away from that one.
We'll get to that next.
Let's step away from that one real quick. But that seems to be the key to success. Feed off the corpse of Drew Bledsoe, and why not?
Like one of those Highlander movies. You have to, in order to gain the other guy's power, you have to cut the head off of your opponent. So, you know, Obviously, Tom Brady and Tony Romo chopped off Drew Bledsoe's head and took his quarterbacking skills.
Well, hell, it's not that hard. The man stood there like a statue. I mean, for me, I can't call Belichick a genius. Right now, he's got flaws showing. All right, Stat Girl, let's get to the next one.
And all I gotta say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Arriba la raza!
Exactly.
Alright.
Okay, now we can move on.
Okay. Who's killing the Cowboys, the team or the owner?
Ron.
Well, okay. Who brought in Pac-Man Jones? Who brought in Terrell Owens? Who ran Bill Parcells out of town? I think the person who's hurting the Cowboys most of all, who hired Wade Phillips when obviously he really wants to just elevate Jason Garrett, the only person who's hurting the Cowboys more than the lack of Tony Romo, which is the one good thing Jerry Jones has done in the past, you know, 7 or 8 years, is the fact that he's interfering in the team way too much. There's nothing that goes on in Dallas that doesn't get approved by Double J. I mean, you know it, I know it. He's like a slightly more sane Al Davis at this point, in that he runs that team, everybody knows who the real boss is, and I would be really surprised if he wasn't calling in plays from the press box.
Oh my God.
If you want to play on the blame, you got to start at the top, and the top of that heap is Double J.
Yes, that's a good point, but then when you think about it, Double J can only do so much. I mean, come on, Ron. Even you should know with the cream of the crop players that he's got, and he's got some of the best players around.
True.
Terrell Owens was a superstar wide receiver. this man came back from a broken leg to try to lead the Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl win, and there's only so much he could do with as far as chicken salad from that pile of chicken shit. Then Dallas gets him after his little lover spat with Donovan McNabb. Then he got Roy Williams, who came from a chicken shit situation in Detroit. You've got two of the best wide receivers on both sides of whoever the hell's throwing the ball, which at the time right now is between Brooks Bollinger and Brad Johnson, and they're hoping to got the pinky heels. And then you got Adam Pac-Man Jones, who can't stay out of trouble. And let's face it, if you think he's actually going through rehab, man, you're fucking blind. Because I didn't think they had a rehab facility over at Anthony's Show Place off of I-35 in Dallas.
He's going to rehab with Amy Winehouse.
That bitch ain't going to rehab.
No.
Exactly. So whose fault is it for the Cowboys losing? Greg Ellis himself said it when he said, "I'm disappointed in this team and in my teammates because we're not trying very hard." So you want to place the blame on who's killing the Cowboys? That's the players.
But who killed team chemistry by bringing in a notorious me first player?
I can't argue with you there.
And who has a coach who is not capable of dealing with strong personalities, but is a very good defensive coordinator?
Hell yeah. And come on, you gotta say for Dr. Fatkins. He can handle the strong personalities, as KSK demonstrated in their latest joke article. However, I think he's getting overruled by... Yeah, okay, you win this one.
Yeah.
Next point.
Okay, this fits in with it being Election Day. Should the government get involved in the NCAA's current system for awarding the national championship if there's enough cause to break up the system? I've actually got my own points on this one.
Oh.
Hey. Yes, this might be a three-way, folks. Don't get too excited, Drew McGarry. In my opinion, it's people are going to ask, you know, you heard about what Obama said, and Brian from CFR is like, well, he's not getting my vote. Not like it matters, Brian, I'm sorry. But if the government has cause, maybe they should. And people would ask, how would the government even interfere? I've got this one little thing, and that's called, folks, when you file for school every January, what do you have to file? That's right, federal aid. Who gives out federal aid? That's right, the government. What are some of your state universities? University of Texas, University of Tennessee, University of Utah, Penn State University, University of Illinois, The Ohio State University, University of Ohio. What do they all have in common? Land grants. Who regulates the land grants? The government. The NCAA is only a quote-unquote sanctioning body. And it's a loose association, and they don't answer to anyone except themselves. If you don't think that if Obama gets in that he's not going to go directly after them again... Again, take off the rose-colored glasses. Wake up and smell the bullshit computer championship.
If there's anyone who's wearing rose-colored glasses in this situation, Rich, it's you for thinking that the government is going to mess with this at all. First of all, I think that our next president is going to have a lot more important things to deal with than who wins a game of football. Secondly... what do you do about all the bowls? If you do try to push through a playoff system, how many hundreds of millions of dollars are the conferences going to lose by not getting those paydays? I mean, every one of those bowl games pays out money to the winners and the losers, and there are like thousands of bowl games now. Who's going to pay, who's going to pay eight SEC teams, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece, millions of dollars apiece, to make up for the cash that they would have made playing in the Podunkville Chick-fil-A Bowl, you know? Granted, you can talk, you can badmouth the legitimacy of the PapaJohn.com Bowl all you'd like, but they're still paying out the teams that show up. And those games mean something. More importantly, because of the way the system is set up now, every single regular season college football game is meaningful. If you lose once, you are basically out of the national championship picture. If you play in a weak conference and you win all your games, you can get into a BCS bowl game, as we've seen from Hawaii, and as we've seen from Boise State, and as we've seen from Utah State. Was it Utah State or Utah?
Both.
And as we're going to see this year from at least one, if not two, of these BCS busters, you know.
Oh, and don't forget the Ohio State University.
What about them?
You said teams that have really played nobody that are getting into the BCS picture.
Yeah, and unfortunately that goes for Penn State too. If Alabama can run the table in the SEC and Texas Tech can run the table in the Big 12, that leaves a potentially undefeated Penn State team on the sidelines. And you know what? Sorry, Joe Pod, happened to you yet again. Maybe you should have played a couple non-conference teams. Maybe you should have joined a better conference. Nobody can make the argument that the winner of the Big East is better than the winner of the WAC, because the Big East is terrible, and the WAC is actually good. You know? And I think that if you instituted an eight-team playoff and you said, okay, well, we'll take the top eight teams, who's going to complain? Team number 9, team 10, teams 11 and 12. They're all going to complain until it expands, and then it expands again. And then you're going to have a situation like March Madness, where all you have to do is show up with eight people in sneakers, and you can play for the national championship, even though your team went 12 and 13. And it's bad enough that basically any team who can go 6-6 can get into a bowl game. I can understand that. You know, these people still have fans. But let's not weaken an already weak national championship by dividing it yet again.
So, really, how could you actually legitimize, like you said, those weak teams getting into the national title picture? I mean, let's face it, the computer only does so much. The computer, for the last few years, seems to have had a hard-on for USC. Just saying. Remember those years USC got into the national title picture? Go there, and let's say Texas blew them out.
Is that any different than Ohio State getting blown out?
No, not really. It's the same effect. What I'm saying it is, there's got to be a better way to do the national championship. If it's an eight-team playoff system, then so be it. But they'd have to revise a whole lot more than the computer system, too. They would have to legitimize how you even get the top eight. Because the top eight of everything is determined by human beings. And we already know the government doesn't have a soul anyway, so why not?
I think if you mess with anything, you mess with the goose that laid the golden egg. I mean, yeah, it's great to hear about Davidson making a run to the Elite Eight, but do you really want to see Boise State knock off a weak Ohio State and just go get crushed by Alabama? No. We saw that last year when Hawaii got destroyed by the Georgia Bulldogs. Nobody wants to see that again. And if you have an 18 playoff, you're just going to get some team that gets everybody's hopes up, go get destroyed. And it's worked. The national championship system has worked for years and years and years. The only thing that is causing it not to work now is that people, for some unknown reason, love the Big Ten irrationally. And if they could think objectively and see that the Big Ten is horrible, then this wouldn't be an issue.
Not saying that the Big Ten is the only horrible division. Come on, Ron. What the hell's the Pac-10? USC, Oregon, and what the fuck?
Oh, that's true, too. But that's another league that gets way too much love. But as long as you've got USC buying the best players money can buy, then they're a legitimate national championship contender.
Oh, hell. All right. At the end of this, I still win. Or you still win. Actually, I think Ron's winning because he's currently right now podcasting with his pants off in honor of Mike Singletary.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we were going to try to get Stat Girl to do her own honor, but when the words topless Stat Girl came up,
She doesn't want to do her Lions coach Joseph Cullen impression?
No.
Or topless drive-thru? That's a shame.
No, sorry.
Actually, I'm on Ron's side with this whole thing, because that's exactly what I was... He took all every single point that I had written down for that.
Oh, yes. All right, folks. Now that,
That's because we're right and Rich is wrong.
Yeah, bite me. All right, folks, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, just with a different name. Let's get ruled out, shall we? All right, folks. New segment name and all that fun stuff. All right, folks. Here's a rule. When it comes to politics and athletes, don't. Just don't. As much as I like you, Clinton Portis, I don't think Southwest Jerome needs to be talking about the election.
However, I would vote for President Southeast Jerome.
Yes, I would too, actually.
With Secretary of Defense, Sheriff gonna get you?
And the Surgeon General, Doctor, I don't know.
Exactly. Okay, if you want to win the national championship, the best way to do that is to go undefeated. If you can beat everyone in front of you, then you have a good chance of getting into the national championship game. Even if you don't make it, you're still going to get a multi-million dollar payday by making a big-time bowl game. It's not a big glass trophy, but then again, what is? You can take your winnings and make your own fake national championship.
Yep. If you want to have the two presidential candidates on Monday Night Football, I can give you a whole list of a whole lot better people to do the interview. And no, it ain't Chris Berman. Susie Col- not comb over. Susie Colbert in a tight white t-shirt, and let's see those candidates try to give a straight answer. And if we don't get a straight answer from them, at least the guys from Kissing Susie Colbert can watch, jizz all over themselves, and go on.
That's gross.
Yes, it is. The bad part is...
Let's rule out, while we're doing the segment, any further references like that.
Yes, let's. Just because of the fact that we know Drew McGarry would. Yeah, I know. All right, Ron. Let's give Ron a moment to recover.
Yes, I turned off my mic so I could go vomit. I move away from the mic to throw up.
Yes, because any time that we have visions of Drew McGarry... Yeah.
You said it again, I'm going to have to throw up again.
Exactly. Alright. Alright, the next thing that I can think of off the top of my head. For those who are saying that the NFC is somewhat superior to the AFC? No. The NFC team that's actually superior is the New York Giants. The NFC West might as well drop off the map. We'll let the Pac-10 take its place. The NFC North, so far the Titans have beaten half the division. They play the third team this week. Oh, and Ron, they go to Ford Field and play the Detroit Lions for Turkey Day.
That should be a slaughter.
Hell. Too bad they don't have the turducken anymore. You gotta give Lendale something to aspire for.
I'm sure Jeff Fisher can make him a nice honey-glazed ham before the game.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, we're getting into the ham again. Oh, man. This could get awkward. Because any time we mention honey-baked ham, I get this vision of Lendale running for 75 yards.
Chasing after a ham on a wire.
Exactly.
See, what they do is they take that overhead cam that runs on the zip line, and the fish desk just ties a ham to it. So when the camera's following the run, Lendale's following the camera. So he's running after that delicious ham.
So what you're trying to say is that...
thoughtfully provided by Vincheon Meat Company.
So what you're trying to say is they might need to do that for Jamarcus. In fact, let's make that a rule. Oakland, you want Jamarcus to win? You want him to be the mobile quarterback he once was at LSU? Well, Jeff Fisher does have a solution. Ron, give it to him.
Ham.
Yes.
Lots and lots of ham. Just like training a dog to do tricks. Just like trying to give a cat a pill. Just like trying to make Lendale run. The solution is delicious ham.
Yes, Jamarcus will be all right. Now, as far as the offensive line can't help you there. All right.
Perhaps the best response might be to scare them with salad.
Oh, hell. Okay. And since Ron this week is happily on his diet of coffee, prunes, and quaaludes, the last part, so we can get truly ruled out, is this past week, Jamie did not have to worry about her team at all. You know, that team she still believes in, Ron. Yeah, that one. You know, Marmalard.
Oh, I was going to say the Colorado Avalanche, but I guess it could also be the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, it could be the Chargers, but anyways. Good news for her. Marmalard didn't lose this week. Now, here's the bad news. They didn't play this week either.
Well, they have plenty of time to make it up by losing next week.
Well, of course. Much like Dallas is not going to lose next week, Ron.
Because they're not playing.
Exactly. Yes, they have 2 weeks to get his pinky winky healed. But anyways, just remember, Jamie, the Chargers still have a chance in the AFC West. Because everybody sucks in the AFC West.
Ain't that the truth?
All right, Ron. Another part of the show we're adding in, the best of the week. And I'm going to give the Best of the Week award to Rob Baronis. No. Not for winning the game. And no. Not for his streak of field goal kicks. Nope. It was when Rob missed the kick that could have won the game in regulation. How does he take out his frustration? Does he stamp the ground? Does he whine? No.
Does he cry like Vince?
No, no. Instead, he rips off his face mask.
Did he get a 15-yard penalty for that?
No, I think the referee was scared.
It's that Vince Young meat they've had on the training table. It's just chock full of steroids.
Well, exactly.
Even your kicker has roid rage.
Yes, Kristen, it's honest to God this happened. Rob Baronis actually grabs his face mask and rips it off, screws and all.
Oh, jeez.
The only way he could be more manly is if he ripped off the one bar face mask.
Oh, yes, the one that they only let Gary Anderson have whenever he decides to come out of unretirement.
Yes, and Scott Player.
Scott Player. Forgot about him.
Which, that image of Scott Player with his broken nose is one of the best images of football.
Oh. Alright, Ron, what's your...
I'll find it and upload it.
Yes, you should. Alright, Ron, what's your best of the week? I know you've got something you actually liked.
My best of the week goes to the Texas Tech offensive line, because one of them looks like Fat Albert, and the other one has a mohawk, and he wears face paint. Yet, despite the fact that they're all, like, completely different people and completely not, you know, have nothing to relate to one another outside of football, they played together awesomely. They protected Graham Harrell for every one of Graham Harrell's 8,000 dropbacks, and they managed to contain a pretty good Texas defense.
Oh, my. Yes.
But it's supposed to, for looking awesome.
Well, yes, it is. It is, actually.
With the mohawk and the Road Warriors face paint.
All right, folks, if you disagree with the best of the week, when we put this show up, give it to us in the comment field and tell us what you thought the best was. Yeah. All right, Ron, let's get to the serious part. Get well wishes galore. Or at least three of them, but hey, no police blotter this time. Unless they got arrested and I wasn't really looking for it.
I actually have another get well to add that I just noticed today.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks, get well to Kyle Orton and Neckbeard.
Yes. When the roadie is down, the whole band suffers.
Yes, it does. But not to worry. Rex has inherited the neckbeard.
I don't know whether to be proud of Rex for trying to grow a beard or sad that that's the best he could do.
Oh, my. Last night, Monday night game, Big Ben went down. Went down hard. And so it prompted the return of Byron Leftwich. Yes, folks, Ben's questionable for the next game with a separated shoulder. Was it separated? He hurt it, though. Ben and shoulder are hurt. And Byron Leftwich is the backup.
Oh, no.
Who did put up a pretty good performance, even for being a statue.
So they went from Big Ben Worthless Burger to Byron Sandwich?
Right.
Well, they're both tall, so at least they have that in common.
Yep.
But other than that, I don't think there's much. Given how much Big Ben got hit for being a mobile quarterback, I can only imagine how often Byron Leftwich is going to have to scrape himself up off the ground.
Oh, my God. And
get well soon, Big Ben, and Byron Leftwich will go ahead and give you a get well soon too, because we know you're going to need it.
Probably. Alright, and another get well to Keith Bullock. Keith is questionable with ribs. Yeah, I know, Ron.
Are they barbecued?
No, they're attached to him. Even though I wouldn't put it past Hambone to try.
Hey, who replaced my shampoo with barbecue sauce? Yeah, and why does my lotion say Memphis Dry Rub on it?
Oh my.
Somebody filled my helmet with coleslaw.
Oh yes, I could see that in the locker room right now, actually. But yes, Keith is out with... Well, Keith is questionable. I don't say he's out yet. That's up to the fish stash. Who will actually respect your decision if you feel like you're not going to play? But yes, right now the Titans' defense is getting slightly banged up, but still feared. I don't get that one. Do you, Ron?
Well, until somebody beats them, you have to respect the defense.
Yes.
They may be banged up, but they're still performing well enough to win, so, you know.
Right, so at the moment, Stephen Tulloch is taking charge of the defense. Which, let's compare. Bullock, Blitz. Tulloch? No, no, Ron, I'm not going with a bad statement here. Let's just say it's going to be a long, long day for the run offense.
And I have some get well wishes to add that I've just noticed, Rich.
All right, what you got?
That we have forgotten. Get well soon to former Tennessee Titan Drew Bennett, who was placed on injured reserve, even though he broke his leg in the season opener, so they knew he probably wasn't going to come back for a while anyway.
Yeah, why wait so long on Bennett?
And get well soon to Dante Hall. Remember him?
Yeah.
Well, the former kick-returning sensation turned member of the Witness Relocation Program has also been placed on injured reserve by the St. Louis Rams with a high ankle sprain that he suffered this Sunday.
Ah,
which
lovely.
Basically, that means they're closing down the team for the season, so everyone's going to be on the injured reserve.
So Jim Haslett might not have a, or can't worry, might have a job after the Rooney Rule kicks in. Maybe. All right, let's get to the end of this train wreck, and I do mean train wreck, because if we keep talking, more NFL players will get injured. Even as we speak, Dante Culpepper is practicing on the Detroit field on one bad leg.
I can't wait for the inevitable turf toe.
Oh, yes. All right, folks, let's get to what we're not watching on TV. Which means I'm going to be avoiding the following. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, Telemundo, Univision. What other channels? Oh, yeah. National Public Television.
C-SPAN.
C-SPAN 2, yes.
MSNBC.
Yes, MSNBC. Fox News.
CNN. You said CNN.
I already said CNN. What else?
CNBC?
Yes, CNBC. Also Military Channel, most likely.
The Weather Channel.
Yeah, they might... Oh, wait, they'll have political weather. Yeah, you're right.
My network TV?
I don't know. Do they show anything political?
Probably. They showed Barack Obama's infomercial.
Well, he paid for the time.
BET?
Yeah, definitely avoiding BET.
Then again, I know you were a big BET viewer before this, so...
come on. I was viewing BET after dark and for all the right reasons.
Good point. Never mind.
Yeah, but
I take back all my bad mouthing of BET.
You remember BET After Dark. It's the one opportunity to watch softcore without the softcore. Which
yes.
Means Len absolutely hates the channel. I'm also going to be avoiding Logo. Yes, Ron, I know it's the gay and lesbian channel, but they're owned by CBS, damn it.
That's pretty gay.
Yes, it is pretty gay, but let's face it, CBS owns them, so you know there's going to be plenty of political. I'm also going to avoid Twitter for the time being until all the political talk stops.
Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to avoid anything not on-demand TV.
Right.
And I'm also going to avoid the internet, the newspaper, talking to other people, and leaving the house.
So what you do anyways?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so basically what I'm down to as far as watching anything is Fancast.com and ECW. And,
yeah,
well,
watch something good, so you don't want to watch ECW.
Exactly, so that's Fancast.com, and let's see what random show I can find. In other words, it might be another Simon & Simon marathon run.
I just bought the 20th anniversary edition of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to watch that. They have one of my favorites on there, the Joe Estevez Vehicle Werewolf.
Yeah.
So, you know it's quality entertainment. And the fact that it's like 10 years old now means I won't have to be bothered with any current political references.
Well, exactly. Yes, so remember, folks, if we're watching 80s-style politics, might as well watch the 80s-style shows to go with it.
Exactly.
All right, what about you, Chris? What have you got lined up for your viewing pleasure?
I don't even have TV channels, so I can avoid everything. I pop in whatever DVD I feel like and use it as background noise.
Well, she is right.
It's the best kind of noise.
All right, so in other words, folks, let's give you the rundown of what to watch on TV. Nothing. Nothing at all. Pop in a DVD. If you're a Star Trek geek, it is perfectly acceptable right now to watch Star Trek 1 through 6. And the Next Generation stuff, perfectly fine. If you're a fan of Doctor Who, watch that. Watch Torchwood.
I'm a big fan of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, watch that. You can watch anything. Just avoid the TV. In other words, if you've gotten out and voted already, that's all you need. Because, let's face it, the relevant shit won't be on until midnight. When they determine that somebody won. So otherwise, yeah. Avoid your TV, watch your DVDs, watch internet TV. That's the best advice we got for you. Or you could come to our site and, bash us for our opinions on things. Like poor Jamie got bashed for the Pistons. How old was that dumbass? 12?
No, I think 12-year-olds can spell better than that.
Okay, so he's 18. Gotcha. Yes, well, public school has failed us yet again.
Anyway, let's wrap this up, Rich. I gotta pee and my coffee's ice cold.
Oh, hell. Are you drinking coffee and prunes again, Al?
No. I ate the last of the prunes today.
Oh, hell.
That was breakfast.
Oh, God. All right, folks, and remember, if you're on the internet, we are at sportsbastards.com. Ron will actually have to type up a post to tell you what all sites he's on. Because I forget. Kristen is also with me over with our geekery over at slasims.com. Remember that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we're all over the place. Got a complaint, post them up in the comments. Got a comment, post them up in the comments. Want to talk to us? We'll give out our phone numbers with the additional fee of $20, because remember, we don't get paid much for this. So, click one of those ads, please. Please? Please?
Technically, Google says we're not allowed to tell people to click on the ads, but we can tell people don't not click on the ads.
Yeah. Don't not click. Yeah, that. try really, really hard not to listen to that part before. Really, really hard. Ah, come on. Not like the others haven't done this before. Gawker Media. Brox. So, yes. Folks, that's the end of our show again. Don't like what you heard? Well, we're not going to try to do better next time. We're just going to tell you to...
We won't ever try to do worse.
We usually do. All right, folks, that's the show. Sportsbastards.com. Tell us what you think. And if you're above the age of 18, learn how to fucking type. All right, kids. I'm Rich. She's Kristen. He's Ron. Ron, we'll see you in the next podcast, which will hopefully be on time. Can't make any promises. I can promise this one will be, but after that, no, I'm not saying. All right, folks, good night.